I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track Open Line program. Lighthouse is celebrating its 25th year in business, just entering our 12th year of doing Open Line programs. We have a few new exciting changes for those of you just joining us for the first time. First, we have our new 2019 Open Line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab on our homepage. So over 12 years, we have covered almost every topic you can imagine in business. Our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is out, and we're also offering now skills testing, which has been a big hit with our clients, and 360s, which has been another big hit. Our topic today is safety is the backbone of every business. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We're going to go through just a few housekeeping items, and then we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us again for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar. We assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, 360s, stress management and time management workshops, and much more. We have an office in Taiwan and the UK, so if you have an operation in Asia or in Europe and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas for how to interact with a U.S.-based company, just let us know. And Tom might be one of those people that you talk to if you're interested. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is a response to a number of calls that we get. So we keep everything very relevant for organizations that are facing business issues today and for the future. Our goal is to make this an interactive program. On your screen, you'll see an area so you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. I want to introduce a very special and longtime friend of mine and business colleague, Tom Drucker, is president of Consultants in Corporate Innovation and works with leaders to achieve business success by leveraging the strengths of their people and overcoming the very human yet often unseen obstacles that get in their way. Tom has a degree in both psychology and business from UCLA and blends these skills to deliver usable insights that have lasting impacts on their business and, most importantly, on the hearts and minds of the people that he works with. Tom has well over 30 years of experience working with Fortune 500 companies, mid-cap companies, and startups. I feel privileged, extremely privileged, to have Tom with us today to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Our next program next month will be entitled Preparing for the End of the Year. Tom, I want to welcome you to Open Line. You've been on our program a number of times over the 12 years of doing it, and I can't wait for a lunch next week or so to see your pictures from Africa. Tom has just had his seventh adventure going to Africa, and we're not going to make that a topic today, but he's definitely worldly and usually visits multiple clients when he's doing these wonderful journeys around the world. So, Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Dana. It's a real privilege and pleasure to be with you and the others online today. And I'm really thrilled to be talking about safety. It's, as I was saying before we started, I was very fortunate when I left business school. I was hired by Peter McCullough, the chairman of Xerox, and I reported to him and built up a division around the globe of about 600 colleagues. Our mission was to bring Xerox into the digital age, but Peter tasked me also with making sure that all of his workplaces, not just his factories, had zero accidents and that workers were safe because he believed that safety was really the bedrock and cornerstone of keeping employees healthy and making sure that their lives were safe and protected. So it's been a concern and an issue that was close to my professional and personal heart my entire career. So the overview slide that you are seeing is, let me just say it's important. And one of the things that we'll be seeing today, talking about rather, are examples of why traditional safety training often fails, talking about why what safety mindsets mean. I'll share an example from a real important turnaround that the Alcoa Aluminum Corporation, how they learned that. We'll take a deeper dive into a unique safety training program that actually works.
Victor, can you go to the next slide, please?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sometimes I get ahead of myself or ahead of the slides. Sorry, let me make sure you're all caught up with the slides. Are we caught up?
Yep, we're there.
Okay, good. So I want to make sure that we overview this, see an overview, then after Alcoa, and that's a sort of example, I want to make sure that we take some time to look at what really works. I'm going to show you, or talk about rather, a program that I think is really just amazing, that a colleague of mine and a business partner of mine created, which I think you will find really interesting and obviously available to you should you wish to explore it or bring it into your company. Not a sales pitch, just a point of information. Want to just talk about what it means to create a culture of safety in a company, and then just take any questions that you may have, as Dana indicated. So if you're ready, we can go on to the next slide.
There we go.
Okay. So I want to just speak a little bit about why today safety is a major corporate concern. And this may already be clear to most of you online today, because if you are in a position to understand your company's bottom line, you know that insurance costs are just enormously expensive, and they're just every year they are getting more and more expensive. There was an article, and you can certainly look it up in the archive, on June 15th of last year, a big, long article that talked about this. And when you are hiring or a new employee is being onboarded, they either ask explicitly if they are in a factory or gray collar like the hospitality industry. They do ask how safe or dangerous will this workplace be. Again, Dana mentioned I was just visiting a lot of camps, tented camps in Africa, and I can tell you that many of them were what they call open, so animals could pass through them at night, and did, and each of them had guards. Most of them, by the way, did not use guns because they're not allowed in parks. They used bows and arrows. And I was surprised, because previously they had guns, but they have outlawed guns, so they used bows and arrows. And everyone felt safe. I felt safe. My wife felt safe. And if you remember that famous hierarchy of needs we all studied somewhere along the line, I suspect safety is at the bottom of that, basic need. People need to feel safe and secure. It's one of the basic kind of ways human beings look at their world. And so whether it's a basic human need, or it's something that we, like a lens that we look through in our daily life, safety is a primary concern of all of us. And I think if you just reflect on ourselves and our children, our families, safety is something that is of primary concern. Just look at the ads we see on TV, for protecting our home. Look at the, kind of rollout of devices that just, for instance, I went in an Amazon store before I left to get my wife a new Kindle. And I was amazed at the number of items that Amazon now sells as part of their system of, home protection. So perhaps we can go to the next slide. And let's talk about why safety programs often fail to improve safety in the workplace. One of them is imposing. That's an important word. Imposing safety standards requires consistent monitoring. And so two important things there, imposing and monitoring. Both of those don't really work with people, and they cost money. So imposing anything on a human being is pretty much a reaction. One of the things, Dana, you and I haven't talked about in a while, is over the last several years, I have become trained and certified in neuroscience. And so that's really the study of how the brain affects all of us, how we react. Said kind of simply, we have an amygdala in the back of our head, which is automatic. All of us react to loud noises or things that make us kind of just react in a visceral way. It's built into our system. All of us have that. And then we have what's called a prefrontal cortex in the front of our brain, which is the seat of creativity, collaboration, and all those good things we do that make us feel good and also help us in our work to be creative, collaborative, and so forth. And imposing triggers our the back of our brain, our fight, flight, or freeze response, and monitoring is something we kind of typically react to in a not-so-positive way. So safety programs often trigger this kind of built-in negative response. Reporting unsafe conditions, which, of course, everyone is encouraged to do, and it's a good thing, but because of social and other kinds of situations that most people find themselves in, and again, blue and gray and white-collar environments, typically results in that employee being viewed as a troublemaker or pointing out someone's mistake, because again, the culture that we often work in is not one that typically makes us feel that we're part of a team. And so when we point out, Sally or Joe or Fred or someone did something, it's not usually a good thing. And safety trainings typically are viewed as boring or a waste of time, which is not, something people look forward to. And very often what I've seen when people are, being showed a video or being walked through some kind of a standard, kind of formulaic experience, people are looking at their watches or their phones or each other and kind of taking it humorously, like, oh, that's BS, which does not stand for behavioral science, by the way. It stands for something else. It's not particularly absorbed in a way that's useful. And people forget that information when they are retested, and this has been used to, people get PhD theses, studying this stuff. And then really expensive workers file a lot of false claims, which erodes morale and costs the company a lot of money, which is what that LA Times article in the previous slide referred to. Anyway, I could drone on and on about this, but I think you get the point. So perhaps we could go to the next slide. So I mentioned a safety mindset, which is a fancy term for the lens that we see the world through or everyone looks at. And really, it's about enhancing one's awareness of ourselves and the way we manage to think and act. Kind of a way of looking at ourselves and others. And what that mindset does, when it's a safety mindset, it creates new habits in the service of, in this case, safety. And when we create this way of looking at ourselves and others, it creates that kind of way of looking and interacting because we have new ways of repeating behaviors and new ways of sustaining those habits. And when we find an activity that helps us create this safety mindset, we have something that helps people do that on a regular basis. We've really got something that helps people not just do it in the short run, but forever. And it not only works in their workplace, but it works at home. Much like, hopefully, we are all learning to be more conscious of, let's say, separating materials that are going into landfills from materials that can be recycled, because helping our planet, which is in dire straits, is a good thing to do. I know I have done that with my wife and others around me, which is, you know, important because we want to save this precious planet we're on. So safety is one of the most important things we can do to help each other, ourselves and our families, to stay safe. So Alcoa Aluminum, a well-known company, found itself several years ago in serious trouble. And, they had a lot of bad accidents. There were a couple of deaths in their factories. It was serious. And so, thank God, the chairman, CEO, was really shaken by this. And he decided to mount a really serious campaign to make the whole company much more aware and awake, used some of the principles I'll be talking about with Joe Stevens and his group, and took this on in a systemic way throughout the company, big company, look it up, and brought in people like I'm about to explain, and boy, did it work, and created within factories and offices a different mindset, a different way of looking at safety, not just, through old-time videos, but really created a mindset shift so that people began to see that safety was just not something to be laughed at or something to be, thought about and then forgotten, but really something that they could integrate into their way of thinking and working with each other, and they could take it home and make sure that, around the house, not just when they had a small child, like a baby. We all know how to baby-proof a house. Or, if you have a puppy, to make sure that the puppy is safe, the new baby is safe, but the people are safe in their homes. So it's an important way of looking at the world. So perhaps we can go to the next slide.
It's up.
I think we're moving along at a good pace here, Dana, so
yep,
maybe we
perfect.
Can take a little more time with this one. So the first point is it's important that safety, as I said earlier, not be imposed, because people reject that with their amygdala. Makes them kind of rebel. It's human. You know, this isn't personal to you or me. It's just human. But when people, not just employees, but when people learn to become owners, and another word for owners is when people become aware that they can personally understand why safety is important to them personally. It's not something that is just a casual, you know, something they need to learn, but when it's something that is really important to them and their lives and the lives of people they love, they actually begin to take it into their hearts and minds and realize that, just like Maslow and his hierarchy, that they have a need for safety and security. It's not just an external something. It's an internal need. Their mindset begins to incorporate this. They begin to not just understand it, but appreciate it as part of who they are as human beings. Not just employees. They begin to really fully appreciate that, hey, you know, I see this in a new way. I appreciate it in a new way. And perhaps even in this conversation, you individually can begin to reflect that, you know, maybe I'm beginning to shift your own thinking about safety personally and with your family and loved ones, that there's a inkling of, I begin to see this or appreciate this. You know, you want your children to be safe, of course. You want your loved ones to be safe, of course. And you begin to reflect on the things you do and think about every day. You know I go to sleep at night thinking about my loved ones. And are they safe and protected? Are they in good hands? Not just with an insurance company, but with each other. And that makes me comfortable and feel good. This is just me. Maybe it's you too. And that isn't just a slogan on a screen. It's something that is inside of me. And it's part of who I am. Maybe it's part of who you are. And when human beings begin to kind of expand or recognize that in themselves, it's an expansive and enhancing kind of way of seeing themselves and other people. I know when I was raising two stepsons, it became important that I give them this way of thinking about themselves, because as they became you know, teenagers, and I needed them to be conscious and self-aware that as they went out in the world, they were going to come up against circumstances I couldn't control. It scared the you-know-what out of me. I'm sure if you've been in that situation, it had the same, you had the same thoughts. And what do? We try to educate them and help them help themselves. Pretty scary stuff, but, you know, that's what we do. Anyway, moving on, Joe Stevens had some really creative, brilliant ideas. And so what he did is create a safety training that was really more like a game show. And he hired not safety trainers, but comedians, bilingual or trilingual comedians. And I mean, he went to comedy clubs to find these people. And they were awesome. They are awesome. And he gave them safety training, information, and materials. So think about that. This is creative.
And I got a funny story to share on Safety Tom. One of our clients, they're a metal manufacturing operation. So I happened to be down there one day, and they were having a safety meeting. And probably 15, 20 people in the room, and the director of safety handed out these really cool pocket knives. One of the guys opens a pocket knife during the meeting, and a nice black the knife part on it, and he closes the knife on his hand during safety meeting.
Oh, no.
Is that too funny?
Well, funny and sad and whatever else. I mean,
right.
It's just classic, right?
Right, right. I had to share that. You brought up
yeah.
Comedian.
So what he did was take these now safety-trained comedians and created a series of activities, and the owner or manager, leader, not only had to see and approve this, but he also had to create a cash fund, because each one of these so-called game show events had cash prizes. Because, you know, we're talking about typically hourly paid people in the blue and gray collar areas. And even in the white collar world, people like cash. It's a good way to, you know, you've seen, I'm sure, game shows on TV where they give prizes worth money. So these friendly competitions had cash prizes as a reward for winning, or the team split a cash pot. And pretty much in each safety training event, which went on for 30 minutes or so, most times people left with some cash in their pocket, and they went home and, you know, bought the family something or brought home the cash. And so it not only impacted the individual, but their families. And sometimes, you know, over a period of time, it amounted to some serious money. So to win, they had to remember safety information. So it wasn't just that they, you know, did something silly. They had to actually study the safety information and know it well enough to win a prize. So there was, you know, substantive activity that resulted in their getting cash. So embedded in this fun and frivolity was serious memorization and learning and application to their specific jobs in the company. And hopefully you're following this, because it was well designed. It was well designed safety training built in to these quote, game show activities. And they had wheels that you would spin like on a game show. They would have boards that you could, work out like on, Jeopardy or whatever that game is where you have to put words together. And I don't actually watch game shows, but I know enough about them to, you know, understand the structure of them. And people loved this. I don't mean they liked it. I mean they loved it. And these comedians, of course, are funny. And they are funny in three languages, or four if they need to be. So we had it in Japanese. We had it in Spanish. We had it, of course, in English, Portuguese. You know, and this was a huge hit. And, you know, when the owners or the leaders came to visit, which they were encouraged to do, they got into it. They laughed. They loved it. And, of course, the employees, seeing the owners or the leaders there, it made it that much more significant. Because when a leader or an owner shows up at these meetings, what do you think the employees feel? They feel respected. They feel honored. They feel a part of a culture of safety. So, boy, it was a win-win-win. And lo and behold, after several of these meetings, there began to be a bonding among the groups that came together. So there was a culture change happening in the company, which was, let's say, an added benefit, a result that was not just more safety awareness on the job, but a greater impact on productivity on the job. So that was a big bonus to this safety training done with work groups that work together, shifts that work together. And boy, was the owner or leader thrilled. So the ROI on this, which was not a huge investment, was immediate. And in the long run, those of you who know about how insurance works in this particular niche, it takes 2 to 3 years for the insurance that is associated with this type of insurance product for their mod rate, as it's called, to go down. But when it goes down, it really goes down. So a client of mine who is a family-owned company, and they make earplugs for the Army and other such organizations, or you can buy them yourself. They're really great earplugs. My wife uses them. I snore sometimes, she says. No, I do snore. Until we got a Sleep Number bed, by the way, which makes me, you know, elevate, and I don't snore. Not a commercial, just an observation. Anyway, and they also make masks for when you're in an environment with a lot of dust. I should have taken some on my safari. I didn't know how dusty it would be, but anyway. That's what the company makes, and their mod rate was sky high. And anyway, I introduced this program to them, and now it is really their, you know, safety record is like spotless. And next year, they're going to get this huge reduction in their insurance bill, which they are, I mean, the owner, family-owned business, the owner, Mark, is thrilled.
That's great.
So just a little example case study. And these safety meetings become opportunities, as it says here, for acknowledgement, fun, and cash rewards. And the employees get to take home, I mean, over the course of these programs, serious money. You know, like a forklift driver over the course of this program, let's say in a 9-month period, could take home, you know, $1,000, $1,200, serious money.
Wow.
So we're not talking, you know, just $100 or so. We're talking some serious money.
And for gifts, they could be gift cards, maybe to the movie theater or to Home Depot.
They could be, but, you know, we're talking cash.
Cash is better?
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
You know, I mean, really, we're talking, you know, dollars. Because, we could do gift cards, I suppose, but so far the program has relied on dollars.
Okay.
Because I think people recognize that dollars are, you know, just the currency, so to speak, of our culture. And as the last bullet indicates, hey, you know, this is about retention, engagement, job satisfaction, and, you know, people actually report accidents and not false accidents. And we have made, Joe and I, videos that actually dramatize the impact of reporting a false accident, because it hurts everybody, including the employees and the employer, and it just is, you know, bad all the way around. And so those kinds of false reports fall dramatically, which is an important kind of metric. And so the companies that engage in creating a culture of safety also create a culture of honesty and integrity, which is, boy, really, really important in today's world throughout, you know, because we have enough troubles in the world, and having a culture of integrity is just so important. So I think it's, anyway, I think we've covered this kind of program sufficiently, and I don't know if you've gotten any questions.
One more slide.
Hmm?
Well, yeah. Victor, why don't you, there we go. One more slide, Tom.
Yeah, right. So here's a benefit slide. So we want workers to take less risks. And I know machines and, you know, the floor has been, you know, made very clear what machines are dangerous and how they're dangerous. It's important. Equally and perhaps more important, people look out for each other, because we all go, quote, unconscious sometimes. We're all moving fast to try to do a good job. And sometimes Sally has to say, look out, Fred. And there is increased awareness on everyone's part of the potential dangers, you know, and we all have dangers, my God. You know, I stand up in my office sometimes too fast, and my assistant says, slow down. One of the things on the safari was so interesting. Everyone said, slowly and carefully. Everyone. And I got to be where myself and my friends would say that to each other. And boy, I'm taking that home. And safe behaviors, I mean, it's just obvious, but it's so true. You know, when we're conscious, we're safer. And, of course, you stop fraudulent claims. And that saves not only serious money at the moment and the lawyer's fees and all that, but it saves the mod rate from being inappropriate. And, hello, elevating safety changes the culture. And it just keeps on, you know, providing this win-win-win. Because when you change the culture, my friends, you are changing something that is sustainable. And I mentioned to Dana earlier, and it's public knowledge, so this is not secret. One of my clients today is VCA. They're a veterinary chain of hospitals. I'm sure you see their blue signs around wherever you are in the United States and Canada. They are the Mayo Clinic of veterinary medicine. They even make things like linear accelerators and CAT scans and X-ray machines and stuff just for animals, including birds. Dana is, and his wife are, you know, major bird folk.
That's where we go, VCA.
They are just great. Anyway, so I've designed a culture and leadership development program for them, which designing for a couple of years, and we've just launched our first group of 24 leaders. There'll be a couple of hundred going through it, 2 years for each leader. And anyway, it's just, and safety, of course, is part of this. And, you know, when you do this for people, they grow, they get inspired, they inspire other people. It's just a major part of how people grow, and they understand that their job actually is not just to come into a training room over 2 years. It's really mostly done in the field, and they teach others, and that's the way today leadership development is done. It's not in a classroom. It's in real life, and so is safety training and safety awareness. It's done on the job. It's done in real life, and that's what works, and that's what is sustainable. And again, safety is really part of a person's awareness in their daily life, just as it is as parents in our daily life. And, you know, when a young person becomes an adult and then becomes a parent, they then do that for their kids, and that's what we as parents want to do. And we see that in our grandchildren. you know, and that's our legacy, and as it is in our workplaces. So we are, you know, building and providing a legacy in our companies. And this is what I learned from my mentor, who was the chairman of Xerox. And as he, you know, found his successor, and I found mine, I stayed there for 15 years and then left to found my own company, which I still run. And I am now also a strategic partner to the TRIUM organization, a group in San Francisco who is in culture change and leadership development worldwide, mostly with high-end, well-known tech companies that you read about in the paper. So, you know, this is what we do as professionals. We make sure that companies are, you know, operating at the highest standards so that they and their employees are doing what they can do with themselves and with their customers. And this is how, as Dana mentioned earlier, you know, global companies flourish. And I think we're ready for the next slide.
Oh, we're there. We're done.
Actually, we're done.
We want to thank everybody
I
for participating.
I think we're on time.
Right on time. First, I want to thank all of you for attending today, but I want to thank Tom. And if any of you want to talk with Tom, his contact information is on the screen or will be on the slides. And Tom can spend some time with you coming up with creative methods for engaging people. So as Tom mentioned earlier, so it sticks in people's minds, because the bottom line to every business is you're going to see your bottom line increase over having increased safety.
And by the way, I always offer myself and my conversations for no fee initially, so don't be bashful, as they say. I'm not about, I mean, I obviously eventually charge money, but initially I don't. Because I always want to get to know you and your company and what you may need. And if it doesn't turn out to be, you know, anything that we eventually want to write a contract for, that's fine. Because I'm about giving advice and service. I'm not about writing a contract. So feel free to call on me. You'll make an appointment with my assistant, Harry, and I'm happy to speak with you. Once or twice, it really is my passion to be of service. So don't be bashful.
Thank you, Tom, so much. And I appreciate everybody. And Tom and Victor, thank you for working with slides today.
Yep.
You're a big part of the program. All right, everybody, have a great rest of the day. And, again, please feel free to reach out with Tom. He's very generous with his time and thoughts. And Tom does, I can tell you from knowing Tom for many years, does amazing over-the-top work.
Thank you.
Can't go wrong.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So everybody have a great afternoon, and we'll all be talking soon. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.